Okay, if you're ready, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. And let's stand as we'll be reading the three verses. Let's stand as we're reading Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. We're continuing in our study of Matthew chapter 5, hopefully 6 and 7, in the journey of a disciple of Christ. Okay, if we say you're Christians, these are the things that need to be evident in your lives. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. Let's read together the three verses. Ready? Let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. Ready? One, two, begin. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today, as we look at these three verses, when Jesus taught the people and the Sermon on the Mount, I pray, Lord, that you speak to us in a special way through your precious word. For these words, Lord, will guide us and teach us what it means to be the light of this world. We thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to our hearts. And if someone, Lord, here that needs to hear a special word, Lord, from the word of God today, I pray that you'll convict them and bring them to a place of surrender to you, Lord. For us, help us to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Okay, in this passage, Matthew chapter 5, firstly, last week we talked about the salt of the earth, okay? The salt of the earth. And we talked about the fact that we are to influence this world for the glory of God. All right, last week we talked at length about the salt. You remember the rock salt and all that. And that reminds us that as Christians, the most important thing in your life is not merely to take care of your family, although there's a biblical responsibility. It's not merely to grow as a believer, although there is a biblical direction for your life. But ultimately, to bring glory to God in your Christian life. Okay, as a Christian, we are to bring glory to God in our Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, therefore, ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. Okay? So that is the direction. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, let's take a look there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Now, I'll show you from the Bible what is the biblical direction after we become Christians, which I believe ties in with our message today, Matthew chapter 5. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our salvation is never by works. All right, if you're trying to get to heaven by being good, by doing the right thing, by thinking the right thing, by resisting temptation, if you're thinking that all this is going to help you to get to heaven, how long can you resist temptation? One day you will fall. Because we're all human. We need the grace of Christ. Okay? But many times we stop at lest any man should boast in verse 9. Because in verse 10, Paul goes on to say, after we are saved, he used verse 10, for we are his workmanship because we are the art and craft of God. The word workmanship means creative creation of God. A creation of God unto good works. Okay, now this is interesting. Before we were saved, we were here. We were on our way to hell. We had sin in our life. We didn't bother about God. But after we trusted Jesus as our personal Savior, God did a special work in our heart. By His grace, He changed us from the inside. What's the reason that God wants to change us? The Bible says He changed us from the inside, His workmanship, unto what? According to the Bible, unto good works. Unto good works. We're going to talk about that. Unto good works. But notice the rest of the verse says, which God had before ordained. In other words, even before you were born, even before you were saved, even before this world was created, God has already said, these are the good works that I want you to do as a result of your Christian life. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works after we get saved. Does that make sense? And that is a very important principle for the Christian life. Many Christians today are just focusing on the grace of God and the mercies of God. We are supposed to be soldiers on fire for God. The good works ought to attract people to God. We'll talk about more. So what is the purpose of these good works? Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Jesus said it. Let your light so shine before men that people may see your good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus made it very clear when he was teaching the multitudes. When you become a Christian and follow me, it's not about yourself. The works that will come out from your life ought to point people to God. All right, we'll talk more with some pictures afterward. Okay, so what's the purpose? Is to glorify God in our lives. So it now has to do with light. Okay, let me just... It has to do with light. When light comes, the light shines, then people can glorify God. The light here, so let your light shine that people can see your good works. The good works is the light. Think about that, huh? The good works in the light. Okay? I forgot to tell the ushers. I wanted the ushers to off the light. And see, after we have that for effect, okay? All right? But if this whole room is dark, if this whole room is dark, you can't see anything. Except with your smartphone and with the light. I know some of you will say, no, Pastor, I got light here. Torchlight. Okay, I'll be tactical, you know. Those people understand that. But Jesus said, the good works is the light. The good works is the light that point people to heaven. The good works in your life and my life as a Christian are the light that will point people to heaven. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. If you're a Christian, you are. Just as Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, he said, you are the light of the world. It's a done deal. It's a given position to everyone who says you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you are the light. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, let us begin by just understanding this, and then I'll highlight 3 points from this passage. I just say a few things. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of this world. All right? The Bible says, John 8, verse 12, then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. This whole world is in darkness, but Jesus is the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Just as salt represents righteousness in the Bible, light represents truth. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, some of you may have committed to memory, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible says light represents truth, because when you have light, then you can walk. In a dark room, you don't have light, you don't know the direction. In a dark place, you don't have light, you don't know what the dangers are. In this world, there is many people who claim to have the truth, but the Bible says in John 17, verse 17, Jesus in his prayer says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. When we have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, God calls us the children of light. God calls us the children of light. Let's look at John chapter 12, verse 36. It's in your verse. Let me just read. Jesus says, while ye have light. You know, when Jesus was talking to the people, I just want to explain this. He told the disciples, while ye have light, walk in that light. You know, during that time, God has been silent for 400 years, from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew. For 400 years, there was darkness, spiritual darkness. There was wars and different things that are happening. And all the people in the synagogues could listen to, interesting, was the darkness that the Pharisee told them. Or they didn't have any light, true light from heaven, until Jesus came. And Jesus told everyone, I am the light of the world. And as Jesus' life reflected the truth of God. I want you to catch this illustration because this is important. As Jesus was on planet Earth, showing the light to different people, telling the word of God to different people, Jesus says, while ye have the light, believe in that light. Believe in that light. That ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and then hide himself from them because of persecution and all that. When you trusted Christ, Christian, Jesus calls you a child of the light. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5, ye are all the children of light. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now this is an important principle of your Christian life. If you are a Christian, you are no longer a child of darkness. After the implication will be clear as I bring out another passage. God calls us the children of light. God has appointed us to be the light of this world. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. I was in one of the youth camp, we talked about walk as children of light, right? One of the youth camp. And this verse says, you were sometimes darkness. That means in the past, you were darkness. And there's two parts. You not only lived in darkness, you are darkness. Think about that. Huh? You not only lived in darkness, you don't know where you're going as a non-believer, you are darkness. What does that mean? In other words, you can lead someone to sin. If you're not a Christian today, do you realize we can lead someone to sin? With our wrong philosophy, with our wrong lifestyle. So in the past, we can scold vulgar words, we can lie, we can do different. We are not only in darkness, we are lost, but we can lead other people to be lost too. Does that make sense? That's what Paul means. But then after that, but now ye are light in the Lord. So now you not only live in the light, you are the light. Every Christian is a light. Every Christian is a light. And then at the end, Paul says, if you are light, then walk as children of light. Makes sense. If you are the light, you have the light in you, you are the light, walk as children of light. In other words, walk consistent with your calling. That's what Paul was intimating there. Now come back to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, ye are the light of this world. Ye are the light of the world. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 to 7, let's turn there, right? Just want to hide. So now we've featured a few things. Jesus is the light of the world. He came as a light. And he asked us to walk in the light. When we trusted Jesus, we become the light of the world, right? Right now we are the light of the world as a Christian. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 to 7, the Bible says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In God, there is no darkness whatsoever. There is no sin. You cannot even accuse him of thinking evil because God is all pure. He is all light. And then in verse 6, John the Apostle said this, if we say that we have fellowship with him. Now when John said that, he was basically saying, if you say you're a Christian. Because in that time, there was a group of people who say they're Christians. They believe that I'm a Christian, but I can do what I want. But because they believe in the Gnostic doctrine whereby the spirit is pure and the spirit and the flesh cannot mix. Okay? And so they said you can be pure in the spirit, but you can do what you want. In other words, it doesn't affect my spirit. In other words, I can be as spiritual, but you know, I can go ahead and sin and do, because that's my flesh. So they separated that. John says no. And John says, if you claim you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, in other words, if you say you're a Christian, but your life reflects darkness, that is sin, we're lying. We are lying. We are lying, okay? We lie and do not the truth. We are not following, we are not consistent with the light that God has given to us. You know, there's an interesting principle. There are many people who profess to be Christians, but in their life it is very clear that they are unwilling to walk in the light that God has called them to walk. When a person, now, I know some of you may think, oh, Johnny, you know, I'm not perfect. That's not what John is referring to. John is referring to people who says, John is not referring to the Christians who say, God, I'm so sinful. John's not referring to you. When you are willing to admit you are sinners before God, you have trusted Christ, say, God, I still need your help to change. God is not talking about you. God is talking about people who says, I'm a Christian, but I'm holding on to my sin. And John says, if you claim that you have fellowship with him and claim that you can still walk as a Christian holding sin in your life, you are sadly mistaken. You are lying. Does that make sense? Okay? So I want to make this decision because there are young Christians here who are struggling. Say, well, no, I'm not. John is not talking about you who have humbled yourself and said, God, I can't do it. Please help me. God's not talking about you. John the Apostle was targeting people who are just, I can just do what I want. I'm a Christian. There's so many people who call themselves Christians who do things that is amazing and they think that they can continue in sin. John says no. You see, if you are light, do you realize light cannot exist with darkness? Would you agree? If there's darkness in this room, the moment I switch on the light, all darkness is gone. Now, of course, there's shadows and all that. In our finite minds, we can see that. But you know, in your Christian life, if we say we are Christians, but we can hold on to sin and will not give that up deliberately, God says, you're lying. You don't have fellowship with me. You don't understand the holiness principle of God. But if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship one another. Isn't it interesting that people who have known sin don't want to follow fellowship with people? It's a very known fact that as a Christian, we're supposed to walk in the light. Christians who walk in the light and love the Lord, we all know we're not perfect, amen? We're not perfect. But then if we have known sin, it's very hard for you, we've known sin, who will not give up the sin, to walk with people who wants to be in the light. And that's what Paul is saying. Sorry, that's what John the Apostle is saying. He says, when we walk in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That means that you are genuinely Christians. You are not hiding. Okay? Some of us will share in maybe Friday nights or whatever and say, well, I'm weak and I'm thankful. You know, we're all walking in the light because the light shines. By the way, the closer that you are to God, the more sinful you'll find yourself. Because the closer the light, the brighter the night, the brighter the light. Because the light that shines closely, you will say, Lord, I'm really, really in need of your help. So when we have that thinking, you're no problem. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 is for someone who claims that I fellowship with God, but holding on to your sin and will not give it up. God says, you are lying, you are not a Christian. And that's what John was targeting those people now, applying to us. Is there sin in our life that we will not give up? If there is, we need to come back to the light. Okay? God wants us to be cleansed from that sin because that's his purpose. God is all light and there is no darkness in God. When we say we have fellowship, but then we walk in that darkness of sin, we are lying and we are not doing the truth that God is telling us. All right? I want you to notice three things about this light. Number one, this light cannot be hid. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. All right? A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Can you show the first picture? When Jesus was actually preaching, apparently by the Sea of Tiberias, the people were just looking at it. They could see exactly what Jesus was talking about in the daytime. when you have a city at the side of the hill, everyone can see it. God says that you cannot run away. Have you ever heard of this when you see it? Some people may say, but Brother Johnny, I'm just a young Christian, I don't know anything. But God says you are the light. When you're a Christian, you're the light. It's a position you have. So when you say you're a Christian, people will say, Christians do that one, man. Do you realize the world knows what Christians... The world actually have a standard of how Christians ought to behave and dress and speak and do their work. Would you agree with that? The world does have a standard. You know why? That's pure conscience. Christians, you're a Christian, how can you tell lies? Because God has already put the standard in the heart, Romans chapter 2. Okay? And so Jesus said, if you say you're a Christian, you are like a city that's set on a hill. Cannot run away. If you say you're a Christian, you're a Christian. All right? And you represent everything that a Christian represents. As the Lord Jesus teaches the Sermon on the Mount, it's very easy for the disciples to relate because they can see a city on a hill. Cannot run away. These cities cannot be hidden. It's true in the daytime, but especially in the nighttime. Can you show the night one, brother? I'll just pretend it's probably a drawing, okay? But you know, if you really go to some places of maybe New Zealand where there's no street lights, it's totally pitch dark. But you know, I think in the Philippines you probably have no mountains and sunny, you see one light there. You know someone's staying there or some light there, okay? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Christians, that is our position as a Christian, as a believer. Do you realize we are the truth in this world? We are the truth. We are the Word of God. We are the light in this world. Some of you are the only Christians in your family. You know why God made you a Christian? So that you can shine. No matter how dim. You know, think about this. No matter how dim a light is, people can see kilometers away. In the army, for example, I just use this as an illustration. You realize the army people are told you cannot smoke in the jungle. Not because you burn down the jungle. That's one reason. But at night, the cigarette light can be seen from very far. You expose your position and the enemy can find you. Especially if it's pitch dark. One small orange light is enough to kill you if the enemy can see you. Does that make sense? When Jesus says you are the light of the world, he talks about a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. In the daytime, it's obvious. In the nighttime, it's even more obvious because when there's light, people can see it from far, far away. Okay? When we are saved, when we are not saved, we have no truth in us because we are sinners. But when we get saved, God puts his spirit into us. Yes? When we get saved, God puts his spirit into us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. I'll read there. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God calls you. God, when you get saved, God puts his spirit into your life. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Truth. And so when you get saved as a Christian, in your family, you are the Spirit of Truth. God needs you. Have you ever wondered why? Sometimes people struggle, say, Brother Johnny, I'm only Christian. That's the purpose. After you talk about that, actually, I jumped the gun a bit. But the first thing, we are the light of the world. But not only do you have the truth, you are the truth in your family. You are the reflection and the light of the world in every situation. When you go to your families, and let's pretend your whole family is always fighting and conflict. You know, when you go in, you become the light. And you show them what is peace by your life. When you go to a workplace and everyone is corrupt and stealing and whatever, you're the most honest worker. Because why? In God's sight, truth is reflected in an honest work. Does it make sense? God wants us to be, we are the light as a Christian. There is no running away. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You cannot be hid. In fact, there are some Christians who don't live for God. Immediately, remember, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, people could look at Peter and say, you were with Jesus. You are a Galilean. The way you speak, I can know you are with Jesus. Of course, sadly, Peter in that situation rejected Jesus Christ. God says that we are the truth in every situation. You know, I want to encourage you. God actually gives you that position as a light for the salvation of your family and the people around you. Because without you, they may die and go to hell. That's why some of you are here and you're the only Christian. I trusted Christ as the only Christian in my family. I'm thankful we only had three. Me, my brother, and my mother. And after that, my brother got saved and my mom got saved. I'm thankful for the light. And we're on the way to heaven, all family, all three of us. Now we're praying for my wife's family. Thank God the sister, well, has professed faith in Christ. What about your families? I want to encourage you. But Brother Johnny, my family is hard. Every family is hard when it comes to spiritual things. The hardest people to reach sometimes is your own family. But that is not an excuse not to reach them. Did you know that even Jesus' own family rejected him? Until after the resurrection. You know, but after the resurrection, do you know who Jesus went to? One of the first people Jesus went to was to his own brother, James, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, all his brothers and sisters rejected him. Huh? You, the Son of God? No, but after that, James became the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, and he gave his life for the faith. It is hard, but it is not impossible. Amen? Salvation of our family is not impossible. But that's where we need to live as light, okay, after we talk about that. But, you know, there's another applied reason for this city that's set on the hill, okay? Let's look at Numbers chapter 35. Just want to apply this. I struggle with saying this, but I think it's important for us to understand. There's actually another, when Jesus says a city set on the hill, Brother Tim, you can revert back to the previous one. A city on a hill, okay? Apparently, in Numbers 35, if you murdered someone unintentionally, there's this place called the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge. I just read Numbers chapter 35, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, just give some time for the Chinese to catch up. Numbers, okay, which is the fourth book of the Bible. And the Lord spake unto Moses in verse 9, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when ye become over unto the Jordan, over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then he shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer, the murderer, the one who killed, may flee thither which killeth any persons unawares. In other words, he wasn't intentional, he just killed someone, okay? Verse 12, and they shall be unto you cities of refuge from the avenger. That means because if you murder someone, someone will want to come and chase you to kill you because catch you and kill you because you did the wrong thing, or else in their mind. That the manslayers die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. In verse 25, in the congregation that delivered the slayer out of the land, hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he fled, and he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. Okay, so the this is slayer has this city where he can abide in, all right, because I didn't mean to kill him, and then he runs. There's this particular appointed six cities that you can go to that no one can actually charge you, but you have to stay in the city. The moment you step out, they can catch you. So you stay inside that city, okay? And you must be in the city, and they cannot charge you until when? The high priest of the city dies, okay? So that is the Old Testament picture. When Jesus says, you are the city that is set on a hill which cannot be hid, the non-believer, many of them, when they sin, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you realize that every person going to hell actually don't know what they are doing? When we share with them the truth, when I say they don't know what they are doing, I'm not saying that when they sin, they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes they're very deliberately sinning. But they don't understand that that sin will bring them to hell forever. And they will be punished for their sin forever. And so they are not aware. Try it. Go back and speak to your loved one and say, do you know if you die, you go to hell forever? They have all kinds of reasons why they won't go to hell forever. They won't understand. Okay? Now, in this, we as Christians are the light that hopefully they're set on the hill so that when the slayer, the one who has sinned, will look at us and run to the Savior and stay within the city. And by the way, Jesus is our high priest. And Jesus will never die. Amen? So when you look at the parallel, you realize that when we point, we as a city on a hill with the light is supposed to point the direction to Christ. And when people receive Christ, they are forever saved. All right? So there's an application we can use. All of us as believers and churches, we are the cities of refuge for every sinner. Every member of Ambassador Baptist Church, I want you to listen to this. When there's a non-believer that steps into this room and you know he's not saved, all of us are supposed to be like to him, not just the pastor. To say, this is my pastor, bye-bye pastor, I go lunch. No, you can open the Bible, you can share the gospel with this person. All right? So let this be a very clear principle. All of us need to be able to open the Bible and show the light. But brother, pastor, I don't know. Then use our blue booklet. The gospel is in there. Just read through. And let the Holy Spirit teach that person. Does it make sense? We're all light. And when the person comes in, all of us need to be able to show them a light to Jesus Christ. Okay? I want to make this clear because it's so all of us as believers, Jesus calls us to light. We're cities of refuge for every sinner. They who have done wrong, but these cities are cities that they can flee to. Christians, we are the truth. The reality is that when God saves us, he calls us his light. That is our position, and our responsibility is to show the light of Christ and his truth. What do we do with the light when we light candle? Go on to verse 15. Okay, let's move on. Our responsibility is to show the light of Christ. Okay, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Okay, can you show the next the picture of the? See, when they light the candle, this is called a bushel basket. Okay, Jesus says, which man of you would light a candle and then cover it up? Why do you light a candle? Last time got no electricity, by the way. Okay, so why do people light candles? Because they want to cook? Or because, why do people light candles? Because they need light in the house. Okay, so lesson number two for us. Number one, we are all light. Number two, light has a divine purpose. Every light has a divine purpose. Because God said, Jesus said, neither do men light a candle and put it under the bushel, but on a candlestick. Can you show the next one, Brother Tim? Put it on the candlestick. And last time you see people will bring the candle, right? You know, the old man with the hat and then his pajamas, like dress one, you know? Then you hold the candle. It's a candlestick, right? After the candle, you put the candlestick. In the past, that's what they do. They put it on the candlestick. So it gives light to everyone that's in the house. In other words, look into the mind of God. When God saved you, he intended to put you as a candlestick, light it in the candle, so that he can put you in your family. He can put you in your classroom. He can put you in your workplace. He can put you so that it will shine and give light to the people around. Can you? He'd have ears to hear, let him hear. I hope it doesn't create stress. My brother Johnny, very stressful in this message. No, the goal is not to create stress. The goal is to help us live the type of Christian life God wants us to live. To be the light. God is not asking us to be the perfect light, but God is just asking us, if you're a candle, then just shine, you know? Just be yourself and be honest. If you're wrong, just say you're wrong. If you need to ask God for forgiveness, just ask God for forgiveness. If you need to correct a habit, just correct that habit. But God wants us to be light. God wants us to be light. And this is an important truth because light has a divine purpose. No man lights a candle and places it under the bushel. There is a purpose. As salvation, we are saved and indwelt by the light of this world, the Lord Jesus. Okay? And he then sets us, he then lights us in our hearts in order to give light to the people around us. Our purpose is to point the way to the Savior. Christians, have you ever considered that when God lighted you, the goal is for you to hopefully light someone else In John chapter 1, don't have to turn there, when Andrew, who was one of the disciples of John the Baptist, heard about Jesus, he stayed with Jesus and heard Jesus taught. You know what's the first thing he did? Andrew ran back. Hey, Peter, we have found the Messiah. The first thing Andrew did was go back to his family, get his brother, Simon Peter, which was going to be one of the pillars of the church next time. Do you know that the person that you lead to Christ could be the next missionary that God will send to save, to reach thousands of people? But you know what? The principle is this. You have a purpose in your family. I know some of you, and I'm not saying your families are easy, but I'm saying that if God sets you as a light in your family, humbly say, Lord, I'm willing to be used. But you know, Lord, I need your light to shine brighter. Lord, you know, I'm weak, I can't. And when you're a light of Christ, don't look at your situation. Look at the light of the world. And always get light from Him through your Bible reading, through prayer. All right? Every light has a purpose. We live in a dark world. Sin is represented in darkness. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 20, I'll just read. This is a condemnation that light is coming to the world. But men love darkness as right. Sorry, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. If you go in midnight to some of these places in Woodlands, when it's very dark, usually the police will go and they'll shine their light. Once they shine light, whew, you see, there are either people running away or people covering themselves or people, they get stuck. Why? Why are people in the dark doing things? Because men love darkness rather than light. People like to do things in darkness. Why do you think people hide when they do wrong? Why do you think people don't want to talk to certain people when they do wrong? Because they're hiding. There's something wrong. When you have to hide, there's something wrong. Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. Christians, we don't have to hide. We can be honest because we are supposed to be the light. Okay? If you have to hide, there's something wrong. If you have to hide, there's something wrong. Because it's sin. Sin is always represented as darkness. But in John 11:10, if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. But the Lord Jesus came to shine and to show us the way. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, the people we sat in darkness saw great light. The verses I'm quoting to you has to do with the fact that we live in darkness in this world. And the plan is God is lighting, putting His light in every Christian so that they can go and be a light wherever they are. Wherever they are. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 to 16, let me just read that. Paul told the Philippian church that ye may be blameless and harmless. Notice two things, blameless and harmless. Blameless has to do with without sin. Harmless has to do with character. They don't easily offend people. Their attitudes are always right in the sight of God. You are blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. In where? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Where was Paul when he was writing Philippians? He was in prison. And Paul was writing a letter to the Philippian Christians and says, in that Roman city in which you are in, you are the light of the world. If you remember that the Roman city is filled with pride, Roman city is filled with immorality, Roman city is filled with abortion and killing children. Apparently in the Roman family, if let's say Asher is born in the family, any child is born in the family and he has a crooked nose, the father can just take the child and throw in the wayside, throw out and let him be gone and killed. Cruelty. You know what? In that kind of cruel, immoral, corrupted society, Paul says, Philippian church, you are the light. They're shining. You know, in Ambassador Baptist Church, God calls us to be light in Woodlands, Marsiling, Yishun, Sembawang. You know why we do outreach every Wednesday? That we can do the little that we can Every time we go, 150 to 200 houses will get the light. As light going out, we share. Sometimes you're able to share. Sometimes my wife just got the door slammed in her face. I mean, we're used to it. Because men love darkness rather than light. But you know what? Christians, it's not about... we need to go, but we need to be light where we are. We need to be the light where we are. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. It's interesting. The third point about this, the light has a command to shine. The light has a command to shine because Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. Let's turn to Revelation 2 first, verse 5. No, as a church, if our light don't shine, our light is supposed to shine into darkness. Our light is supposed to shine into darkness. The real test of a torchlight is it can actually point the way. Okay? To use torchlight in a lighted place is useful. It makes the place brighter. But it also makes the place hotter, warmer. No, it has to do with Christian fellowship. There's nothing wrong with Christian fellowship. In fact, in our church, we should actually work on more fellowships. I know people are very busy, and sometimes we just need to get together, just to play games or whatever, to encourage one another. But you know, the real source of light is when this light goes into the dark places of this world. Does it shine? Does it shine? After this, I'll talk about how we can shine. But in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, notice as a church, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick. Every church is supposed to shine into the darkness of the place. Do you know the purpose of the church? It's not for us to come and feel good. The purpose of the church is to be a light. That's why when you trust Christ and want to be added to the church, we need to know that you have trusted Christ, that there is light in your life, so that when we combine the candles together, it shines into the light here. For people to see the light, give their lives to Christ, the light of the world, and then go out to be the light, so that someone else... You know what Jesus says? If you don't do what you're supposed to do, if there's... You know, the reason why God says, I'll remove your candlestick, is because there is darkness and sin in the church. And God says, I'll remove that candle light. I'll remove that candle. In other words, the day Ambassador Baptist Church starts shining for Jesus Christ is the day we close down. It's the day that in court of heaven, God says, Ambassador Baptist Church, shut down. You know why we keep going on Wednesdays? And I pray more people will come. Because we need to give the light to people who are lost. Some of you are here because of the blue track. Why? Because someone needs the light. So the third point is the light has a command to shine. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Christians, we need to have light. We need to have good works that are light in our lives. We need to have good works that are... Because Jesus, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. No one is able to see your faith except by what you do. Non-believers in this world are not going to see your faith except by how you practice your faith. You won't know I'm a Christian. You won't know I'm a soldier unless I prove to you through my weapons handling, through not to throw a grenade, know how to take cover. A lot of people think they can do things, but when you actually put them to the test, they can't. A true measure of a Christian is when your good works point to the Savior. And that's what Jesus is saying. Your light in your life are the good works that you show out of your life so that people can actually see your good works. You know, one thing my pastor in Australia always preach, as he say, talk is cheap. Everyone can talk Christianity. The world is not listening to hear him. He's looking to see him. The world is not listening to hear him. Because they can go on the internet for information. They want to see the reality of your faith. That when you go through the trials, are you able to stand? Are you able to share the gospel to people? Even though you go through the most difficult thing in your life, Even if you have to surrender certain things, you say, I'll still trust Christ. You know the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, was originally written by a prince who trusted Christ. And because he trusted Christ, he's an Indian prince, and he was captured, his children and his wife was placed before him. And the people told him, if you don't renounce Christ, we'll kill your children in front of you. And he says, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. He killed the children. And took the wife. You love your wife, right? You're willing to give up your wife? You don't renounce your faith, we'll kill your wife. And then who's going to follow you? Though none goes with me, still I will follow. He killed the wife. And I say, if you don't renounce Christ, we will kill you. The world behind me, the cross before me. You know, it's interesting because in some situations, the willingness to stand for Christ and do what is right have led people to Jesus Christ. You see, many Christians are doing what is normal in the normal. Going to church. Do you know who comes to church on Sundays? Who comes to church on Sundays? Christians, yes. Who else comes to church on Sundays? Non-Christians? Sometimes? Do you know who else comes to church on Sundays? The devil. Satan comes to church on Sundays. You know how I know? Sorry? When Satan just used a Z monster on people. You know? Okay. I know sometimes you're tired, that's fine. You know, that's where I just give you an interesting thing. In the 16th century, when you fall asleep, the ushers will come with long poles and wake up. That was in the 16th century, alright? That was the Baptist churches. Why? And please don't say, wow, these kind of people are so rude. Actually, they're not rude. You know why? Because the preaching of the Word of God was so important, they want everyone to pay attention. We have to understand the reason why people do sometimes silly things. All right? Ushers, let's prepare some poles. But you know what? The preaching of the Word of God is so important, they don't want people to fall asleep. And that's the real reason, okay? Okay? Now, let's come back to this. This light is commanded. Let your light so shine before men. That's what Jesus said. Every Christian has a command from Christ to shine in your good works. I'll read a few verses, and then I'll show you four areas of works that we must have in order for lights to shine. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us, Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, save us from all sin, and then purify unto himself a peculiar people that is on fire for good works. Jesus saved every Christian to purify him so that he can be zealous of good works. In other words, he has a zeal to do things for Christ. You don't do things to be saved. You do things after you are saved. And it's an expression of your love for Christ that you are going out and reaching people or being a good example. After we talk about the four areas. In Titus chapter 3 verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things, Titus chapter 3 verse 8, I will that thou affirm constantly that they which believed in God, let me ask you, if you have truly trusted Christ, just put up your hand in your heart, okay? Just if you have truly trusted Christ, you know what God said? Pastor Titus, that's what Paul told Titus. He said, this is a faithful saying, these things I would that thou affirm constantly. Paul told Titus, who is the pastor, I want you to keep reminding the church people, which I'm doing now, that they which have believed in God might be careful, might be anxious to do what? Maintain good works. Because this is good and profitable unto men. You see, when Paul preached to Titus, remind the congregation that their life ought to be a system of, or not system, their life ought to be full of good works. Why? Because it is good and profitable to the people they mix with. So that the people they mix with will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know what it means to provoke? Irritate. In the Greek, it means to irritate. In other words, if you're not walking with God, my job as a Christian is, hey, how come you're not walking with God? Hey, what are you to say? Yeah, you need to walk with God, man. Come on. Irritate the person to love and to good works. I'll give you four categories of good works. Number one, works of obedience. Works of obedience in the Bible. There are many things in the Bible that God commanded. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my instructions. One of them is baptism. Another one is faithful giving. Another one is being faithful in the things of God, Bible reading, in prayer. Works of obedience. This means obeying the commands of Scripture, not the commands of the pastor, the commands of Scripture. And what I say, hopefully, will always be in line with Scripture. You don't have to obey me. It's not in Scripture. But when I tell you, for example, give up your sin, that can be found in Scripture, then you need to obey that. Obey your parents, that's find the Scripture. These are works of obedience. These are works of obedience that we have to have, number one. Number two, works of love. It includes both love for God and love for our fellow men in order to bring glory to God. In other words, if reaching out and telling someone about the gospel shows my love to God and love for the men, then I need to do it. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? We need the words of love in our life. Children, when was the last time you told your parents you love them? Simply because you love them. Well, of course, you can add, oh, thank you, Dad, or whatever. You know, thank you, Mom. When was the last time? Because someone was in need, you reached out. That was a works of love. You could give some money. You can spend some time with that person. You can help. And it's always a sacrifice when you do that. It's a works of love. But the purpose is not to draw the person to yourself. The person draw the person to Christ. Because Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and so that you have another kopi kaki. Eh? Some people say, I'm going to reach out to this person. So next time, I want people to drink coffee with me. I can always call them. Well, you can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that you're not fulfilling what Jesus is saying. You need to point the people to Christ, okay? Works of faith. Works of faith. These are works that we do in order to rely, as we do in reliance upon God and His promises. Example, any effort to reach people for Christ is a work of faith. Anything that you like to do for God that is outside and you don't know how you're going to do it, but the Lord is going to trust you, man. It's a work of faith. To trust God. The end goal must always point to Christ. Because some of us may do things, but it's actually to point to ourselves. We need to be careful. But not all wrong. For example, business ventures and all that, that's just for your own whatever. But you know what? Works of faith refers to things I do for Christ. Example, you know, from tomorrow onwards, I'm going to try to at least give, I want to challenge young believers, give two tracts out every day. Two tracts. Just two tracks out every day. It could be on the bus, it could be to your friend, it could be anyone. That's a work of faith. You try it, you'll be shivering. Okay, the first time I tried, I was a new Christian, I was 14 years old. And there were two students in front of me in the bus. I had this impression, give them a track. It's like, God, okay. I waited for half an hour. I know the school that they are in. I'm also in school, so I know I'm sitting, the two students was in front. I know that they are going to alight in the next bus stop. So just when they're going to align, I'll give you a track. So after that, they go off. Because I don't want to be paisei. I did obey God. But you know what? You know, can I say this? The more you reach out. You know, how do you develop a compassion for lost souls? It's not by just praying. It's not that we are just reading. You know how? You need to go and see. And you need to go out and try to reach them. And then you will realize, Lord, if they're not going to, their lives is going to be destroyed. The only way you're going to develop their heart of love for the lost is when you go out by faith. It's not by watching movies. It's to go by faith. Works of faith, And then, by the works of your common life, what does that mean? It means that whatever you do at home, whatever you do at work, or you travel in the sick bed, or whatever you go through, your mind is always clear. Lord, my work is for your glory. I'm thankful for my work. I'm thankful for my family. I need to honor God in my family. That goes from the father, the mother, and the children. Lord, I'm thankful for my duties of life. What does that mean? In other words, throughout my duties of life, which is just one category of the four, I do it faithfully. I do it as a Christian. That Jesus is my master. Moms and dads, when you cook, it's as if Jesus is standing beside you. If you are cooking, time to cook for my family, and all they do is making use of me. And I hope the rice will burn and chow da, and eat and don't. I think you know what I mean. When you do work, it's like, why in the world should I come to this church? Why in the world should I be? What's the point? I'm a Christian. No one bothers about me anyway. You know, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. As a Christian, it's all you think about is yourself. You don't have light. The light has been destroyed, extinguished. In the normal things of life, you do it faithfully. You do it with the attitude whereby, Lord, when I do, I just want to be like you. You see, a servant will not ask. A slave of those days, by the way, the slaves of those days in the Roman times, if they have some food and rest, they are very happy. Some of them got no pay earned. Because some of the slaves are working to pay back debts. Or they are just a property that if they don't do right, they can be whipped or killed. They have no rights. But there's another category of slave whereby you serve because you love the master. Okay? And that's the type of slave God wants us to be. That by where we serve, we say, Lord, I don't need anyone to pat me on the back. Because, Lord, it's just a privilege to serve you. Christians, we need to grow in our... When God calls us to be the light, he wants us to serve because we see it as a privilege to serve the King of Kings. And by the way, it is. It is. David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa. And he said, Dr. Livingstone, it's such a sacrifice for you to go to Africa. So you know what I said? What sacrifice? No sacrifice. It's a privilege to serve the King of Kings. It's a privilege. Christians, we need to understand it's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege to serve God. Now, some of us will go all the way to do our best for our bosses. What about doing our best for the King of Kings? To be the light that God calls us to be. Works of common life. And our goal and focus is to please God. As we close, do you have this light in your life? Works of obedience? Can I say this? I believe there will be many people who will trust Christ because of some of you. You know, I was challenged by an evangelist. And he was always so-called, he was always very positive, but he put it in such a way that he won't miss the truth. Many people will get saved because of Ambassador Baptist Church. But you know what? You know what? To me as a pastor, I hope it is to you. Will anyone go to hell because of Ambassador Baptist Church? Isn't that convicting? I don't know about you. Would anyone go to hell because of a testimony of Ambassador Baptist Church? That we're not living for God. We're also self-focused. We do the things what we... You know, when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," I hope you apply it to yourself first. Is someone being attracted to Jesus by the light in your life? That's what Jesus means. Oh, Brother Johnny, I'm really very weak. I can't read the Bible. I don't know how to read. But can you pray? Can you love someone? Can you send a message of encouragement? You don't have to leave your house to do that. There was one old lady in Nepal, I believe. Can't read. Can't read. I think Brother Cloud shared before. I feel such an encouragement. You know what? When she will go to the villages to evangelize. She don't know how to read. When the free time, he grabbed more on the preacher boy, say, you come with me. You know, they go, and then and you go to the village, you get the person to read. I don't know how to read, you read. You know, as a result of him, many missions were started in the village. This 80-year-old right now don't even know how to read. And yet Jesus used him, her, to be a light to the many villagers. When you want to serve God, you will give no excuses. You know, there's a challenge to our hearts as Christians. Christians, what's our excuse for not coming earlier or not doing what is right for God? When Jesus says, you are the light. You know what? You know what the saddest thing? I'm thankful for one thing. You know, if you're genuine a Christian, you will never lose your salvation. Amen? That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. You know? I can have 4 children and I'm thankful they want to live for God, but if one of them don't live for God, they're still my child. Or 2 of them become drug addicts, they're still my child. I still love them. But you know what? I had to surrender them to the police for the authority to deal with them. But you know what? It's the most miserable thing to be a Christian on earth and not live for Christ. You know why? Because you're trying to enjoy yourself in the world, but the Holy Spirit of you said, no way you're going to enjoy this. And the whole life is just struggling. You know what God says? Why don't you just surrender? Why don't you just be the light that you're called? And in the Beatitudes, I believe Jesus is just telling us, as we journey as a Christian in this world. By the way, Jesus can come anytime now. He's going to come anytime now. Are you going to be ready? Will your light still be shining for Christ? Will Ambassador Baptist Church as a church should be shining? You know, as long as you stay in the book, thy word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. You know, I hope you come for Sunday Bible Hour. We are interpreting scripture in every Sunday school. We're going to be going through verses and verses so that you get used to reading your Bible, interpreting it, and applying it to your own life. We're going to have 1 or 2 more sessions after that. We'll go through the entire book of Romans. We're just studying the book of Romans by interpretation. And so that for yourself, you can see the glory of the gospel and the glory of your salvation and the privilege of living for Christ. Christians, I want you to make a decision. Don't get it from the pastor. I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to make a decision to say, Lord, I am the light. You have called me to be the light. Fathers, are we the light to our families? There is no excuse for us not to be a light to our families. We have to be the light. Mothers, if your dad is not around, then fathers, you're supposed to be the light. Don't blame anyone else. Don't point your fingers and oh, the person is like that. Jesus says you're the light. Children, you are still the light if you're a Christian, but if your dad is showing the light, just follow the light. So that as a family, you can be a strong light for Christ. Do you have the light in your life, the works of obedience, works of love, works of faith, in your regular duties? Some of you have close friends. How strong is your light? If you have sin in your life and refuse to get rid of that, the light, there is no influence whatsoever. God cannot work through a Christian with sin. He can't. Not that he don't want to, but he can't. But you know, so that's why God says we need to confess our sins and get back to him. And our friends being drawn to the light of Christ and becoming more and more like Christ. Our people, Christians, are we bringing people, and even as a church, I pray that the light of Christ in our own lives will not be diminished. Some of you were the light to some people, but because of certain things, you have shifted your focus. We need to come back to the light. You know, one thing that's interesting, I just finished with this. God calls us light. The light in Jesus' mind was a candle light. Okay? Sometimes because of sin, wetness of this world, our light gets extinguished. How do you get rekindled again? By putting the light again. You know, be thankful in your Christian life that failure is never final. You may feel, Lord, I'm sorry I failed as a Christian. You know what? That's the first step to getting back to God. And just say, God, I'm sorry I failed. I wasn't the light There are many people whom I should have helped. I didn't help, and I'm sorry. Please light me up again. You know, when you come back to God, it's always on His terms, not yours. You come back to God on your terms. God can't light. He has to be on His terms. Say, God, not so hot, huh? Not so hot. Don't like so hot. Oh, God, can I? It's not going to work. God says, either it's just like a patient going to a doctor and then telling the doctor what to do. We need to submit ourselves to Christ. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and hide under a bushel, but it sets it on a candlestick. They may give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, humble our hearts to see that, Lord, it is your will for us to be the light, because that's what your word says. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Father, there's so many people lost. There's so many people that really just need the light of Christ somewhere. And Lord, from the Bible, we now see and understand that when you saved us, you call us the children of light. And then you set the light in the different homes, different workplaces, different schools, so that we can be light for the people. And Lord, you have shown us that we are the light. You have shown us that we have a divine purpose. And you have given us a commandment to shine. Lord, forgive us that many times we forget the commands of Scripture. Lord, that we've taken you so lightly. Lord, sometimes we are not faithful to the things you call us to be faithful with, and as a result, we extinguish the light that you want us to shine. That our children, the people around us, sometimes may be affected simply because we don't live for you. But yet, Lord, as you state in the book of Matthew chapter 5, once again, that we are the light of this world. We are the light of this world. Lord, help us to be light. With our eyes closed, heads bowed. No one looking around. I just want to ask that someone say, Pastor, pray for me. I need God to rekindle my light. Is there someone like that? I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen. I see that hand. To rekindle that light. Just put it up, put it down. Amen. I see it. Put it up, put it down, and just pray. Amen. I see that hand. That hand too. Anyone else? Is there anyone else? Is God working in your heart about being light? Is there someone else? If you're a Christian, is there someone else? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone who has put up their hand. I'm thankful for their sensitivity and their tenderness in their hearts, Lord, through your word. Heavenly Father, I pray that, Lord, even as you say that every disciple of Christ is a light, I'm asking you, Lord, to rekindle the light in these people's lives. Yeah, sometimes they may be tired, there may be things, but Lord, help us not to use them as reasons and excuses that we say we cannot be the light. Help us to come to the place of surrender and say, Lord, I will be the light. No excuses. Help us, Lord, because you didn't give any excuse when you died for us on the cross too. And teach us to follow your example. Help us as we sing the last, just closing hymn, let the lower lights be burning, I pray. That you truly help us to be the lower lights. We pray in Jesus' name.